Thank you, Yvonne. I'm Matthew Lazenrider, filling in for Mark Forsyth. Coming up, how to quit your job. In a world where anyone can get their message out almost instantly, everyone has a chance at fame and notoriety. The latest trend seems to be quitting your job and telling the whole world why. The most recent case is an employee at a Whole Foods grocery store in Toronto who emailed a very long and personal resignation letter to the whole company. The letter, of course, then went public. In it, he lists all of his concerns with the company and its policies, from overworking its staff to not living up to its own environmental standards. He also directs scathing messages to individual coworkers. So we're going to talk to a human resources expert about how companies and employees should deal with cases like this, and we want to hear from you. Have you ever quit a job, and did you do it in dramatic fashion? What did it take for you to quit your job? Have you ever dreamt of making a statement like that while quitting? Maybe a public letter or a dramatic exit like the flight attendant who jumped down an escape chute last year. Are you a business owner? What are your tales of no good employees jumping ship? Give us a call. We're at 604-669-3733 from in the Lower Mainland, and toll-free 1-800-825-5950 from across the province, or star or pound 690 on your cell phone. And to help take some of your calls, I'm joined by Christian Codrington. He's the Senior Manager of Operations at the BC Human Resources Management Association. He has worked as a human resources manager for several multinational retail and service companies. Hello, Christian.
Hello, Matthew. Thank you.
So first, what do you did you read this letter from the Whole Foods employee?
I read a lot of the press coverage and a lot of the activity afterwards, yes.
Is that advisable?
To quit in that fashion,
yeah.
I would advise against that, Matthew.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, personally, I might be interested in finding another job again. So I think it's pretty important to exit gracefully. There may have been an opportunity for this employee to potentially work back at Whole Foods. But I guess most importantly, he may have some valid concerns, and there's a chance that the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater here. Now the company is sort of cleaning up. I understand he's made some pretty scathing remarks about his colleagues, so I'm not even sure how that's relevant to his concerns.
Mm.
But lastly, I think that you can imagine this fella in the last few weeks or months of his employment. What was he potentially doing to affect sales? As he's on the floor talking to customers, he's probably had a couple of drafts of this resignation letter that he may have even vetted with some customers.
Right. Okay, so what's the right way to quit? How do you do it right?
Well, I think it certainly depends on your level within the organization. Certainly the higher you go in an organization, the fewer questions you want left unanswered as you choose to move to another employer. For most of us, however, we're potentially moving on for other opportunities. So make it easy. Make it easy on yourself, make it easy on your future career, and keep the door open as you potentially leave and may have to come back or may choose to come back for future employment opportunities.
I've quit a couple jobs in my time, and every once in a while you get the exit interview.
Right.
And that seems to be a good time to say, here are some concerns I have with how you do things, or and either, you know, how you make your employees feel or how you operate in general. But does that go anywhere? Do exit interviews with an HR person, are they constructive in any way? Does that filter up to the top?
Well, I can speak to my personal experiences to know that many companies that I've worked for place a lot of value in the information they get from the exit interviews, from tracking sort of categories of reasons to getting the information back up to the decision makers to say, well, perhaps we need to be doing something different when it comes to employee engagement and morale. But you know, Matthew, I might go a couple of steps earlier and say, most companies these days are putting in redress procedures earlier on so that you're not waiting until the day you've already resigned to bring those things up and when you're out the door. So wouldn't it be great if early in your employment tenure, you know who to speak to or who knew who to speak to about any concerns you had and saw those issues getting resolved? Maybe we wouldn't have had the gawker sort of express his concerns if he had some feedback earlier.
Right. We have a call on the line. Brian. Brian, what do you think? Hi there, Brian.
Hi.
You have a quitting experience?
Well, I've got many quitting experiences, but the one that comes to mind is when I was working as a waiter at a hotel in Whistler. And nobody liked the chef. The head chef was an arrogant sort of European elitist type. And he was causing a lot of stress amongst all the waiting staff. Anyway, I just realized after talking to my doctor that I had to quit this job because it was too stressful. So I decided, you know, that I would do it in a spectacular fashion. What I did was I filled up one of a wine, you know, the wine containers you take to your table and you fill up with ice so the wine is chilled. It's a big wine bucket, and I filled it up with ice and cold water, and I went over to the chef and I dumped it on his head, and I made sure that all the staff in the restaurant was there to watch. And anyway, the chef was just soaking wet in the middle of the kitchen, and he didn't get it. He didn't understand what was going on. So I went over and got another bucket, and I splashed it all over him. And of course, all the staff.
Oh man, Brian.
Yeah, all the staff was laughing like crazy. It was a pretty embarrassing moment for the chef. And then I just simply walked out. But it just felt so good to do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that you know, Christian and I, when we talk about this in a second, he'll say it probably wasn't the best idea, but I'm sure it felt good.
No, sometimes. You know, it's important to make a statement because, if people are, if you have a boss who is very unpleasant person and is causing a lot of stress and it's no fun to work for, I mean, really, you know, why bother? Life's too short. And, you know, sometimes it's important to make a statement like that.
Yeah, hold on the line, Brian. I want to ask you some more questions, but I'm going to give out the numbers to call again. If you want to share a story, or if you got a question, or if you're an employer and want to share your experience, give us a call right now across the province, 1-800-825-5950. In the Lower Mainland, 604-669-3733, star or pound 690. Again, across the province, 1-800-825-5950. Brian, you still there? So what happened? Did you ever work again in that town?
Well, sure, there's lots of jobs in Whistler, but I didn't work for the Delta Inn after.
So there were no long-term impacts of your decision there?
No, you know, waiters are a dime a dozen up there, right? You know? Yep. And besides which, you know, honestly, you can't worry about, I mean, unless you're a CEO or an executive or something like that, you can't worry about repercussions. You have to deal with a situation as it is. And if you simply are in a situation where it's not tenable to work, it's not enjoyable, and because of one particular person, then it's a good idea to make a statement, you know? I mean, who knows? I might have helped this guy through, you know, in life. He might have got the message after. You never know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call, Brian. I appreciate your experience. Christian, so he did okay, I guess.
You know what? I'm sort of glad he resigned, risked being terminated after that. But, you know, there's certainly no one's going to take away the cathartic feelings one might need to release some stress. And certainly the impact that coworkers have on each other is huge. And all the more reason why management needs to be really cognizant of what's going on. Because, you know, leading up to that, that's not what you're paying the waiter to be doing. That's not what you're looking for the chef to be doing. They're there to have different jobs and do different roles for the organization rather than having fights with each other. So, again, is this the best use of everyone's resources? Is this best use of everyone's time?
Mm. Where do things break down in a workplace where, you know, a boss may not know that things are so bad that people are about to start throwing buckets of ice water around?
Well, I think perhaps Brian had already raised this issue with somebody and felt that no one did anything about it. So why is he going to bring it up a second time? So I think that's often the first sort of level of breakdown, when someone doesn't see some immediate action when they bring something up. Or maybe for whatever reason he felt he couldn't bring it up. You know, having worked in restaurants when I was going to university, there's a bit of a caste involved there, and the chef runs the place. So you don't want to question the person that's running the place. So there's a bit of an intimidation factor that can often happen. So between not getting stuff responded to or feeling a bit awkward or intimidated, you can see how people keep things in, and I guess the term I use is keep little pebbles in their shoes and just have a little discomfort over the years that might lead to something a bit more drastic later on when something breaks.
All right. Well, let's go to Carolyn in Vancouver. Carolyn.
Hi.
What's your story, Carolyn?
I'm a physician, and I work in Vancouver and in Burnaby and New West, and I work generally for health authorities, and I've had various jobs for health authorities, and I recently left one of them. It's actually not a resignation. I just didn't renew my contract. But I did write a letter, not an open, angry letter, but I did write a letter to all my coworkers indicating that I was leaving for essentially institutional reasons rather than because of the work or because of my coworkers. And I had felt like for the many years that I worked there, I worked very hard to make it a good and ethical and, you know, healthy workplace, and that it just wasn't happening. And I got to the point where you get tired of fighting, like kind of like the chef with the, or the waiter with the chef, and you get tired of jumping up and down on tables and talking about things when nothing happens. And then I think you have to be, this is my feeling at a time, that I felt like I had to be honest with my coworkers, but at the same time not slander anyone or libel anyone.
Thank you very much for the story, Carolyn. And Kristen, what about the effects on other on coworkers on your same level? What kind of impacts can a public kind of goodbye have on the scene?
Well, I would suggest that Carolyn's public goodbye was a little different from the gawkers, if I could refer to
sure.
it as that. And certainly we have attachments to people in the workplace. So out of respect, Catherine, I think it sounds like, left trying to reduce the number of questions people might have, plus maintain those strong relationships. So I think it was important for Catherine to address her colleagues. And I think that's always important because one way or another, employees are going to find a way to talk to one another. So employers aren't going to stop that. In fact, they should encourage that. In fact, oftentimes when we've had terminations with individuals, we allow people to sort of take control of how they're going to communicate with their colleagues. And we say, you know, if you'd like to figure out a way to talk to your colleagues on the way out or any messages you'd like to have for them, please let us know and let's agree on a method with which we can get that conveyed to your colleagues. So I think working with rather than trying to prevent the flow of communication is a whole lot easier.
Right. That's interesting because over the, you know, everyone receives those emails once in a while that someone's left and nobody knows. Then a couple of days later, you get an email. But I always assumed that the people upstairs would be not pleased with that kind of behavior, but you would encourage it.
Well, I think, again, it's around letting someone have some control over their departure. And I think that creates a situation where you're working with somebody to have a graceful exit, whether it's a resignation or a termination. So I think that can be negotiated in a lot of instances. Certainly when there's a built-up frustration, maybe it's not so easy to negotiate that.
All right, let's go to Jason in New Westminster. Jason?
Hello?
Hi there, Jason.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. What's your story?
Been working in the network communication security cabling industry, sort of, for about 12 years now, and I'm going to be leaving the trade to do something a little more personal, and I'm going to do some writing. What I wanted to kind of chime in about, going back to that last caller and his methods of, you know, addressing his chef and everything else, I think it's obvious that in a professional place, that the people that can stay objective try to leave emotion to the side, where it belongs, and address problems like that appropriately, maturely, it only speaks to your character of person. So to resort to a bad chef in such a way really kind of diminishes what you are bringing to the job. So So what I've personally been doing is just I've given lots of notice, 3 months ahead of when I'm going to be leaving, and going through the procedure of helping everyone out. No one should ever think that they are integral to the, you know, functioning of their business. But you should always be there to try and help people around you, so that way the jobs get done efficiently and everyone can do their job to the best of their ability and enjoy it to the best of the extent that they can. That's about it.
Thank you very much, Jason, and good luck in your career choice there.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. So that's his take on what the proper way to go is.
Well, I think not everybody's can be as controlled and in a good situation as Jason. It sounds like he's moving on to something that he's really enthusiastic about. Perhaps Brian was moving away from something that was really bothering him, and we all have different thresholds. So I'm going to give Brian a little allowance of forgiveness. But at the same token, I tend to agree with Jason. If you want to affect some positive behavior, I'm not sure that, in fact, I'll put it a different way. I'm sure there's different ways to get a message across.
Right. Alex in on Salt Spring. Alex. Oh, Alex from Salt Spring has just a question for us, and that is that what is the purpose of a resignation letter? What's the protocol around resignation letters?
Oftentimes it's advisable, and it's actually put in the Employment Standards Act, that employees should try and give formal notice. Documenting the fact that you're resigning is always a good idea. Companies should in turn acknowledge that resignation. I often recommend back in writing so that everyone's clear on what we call the ending of the employment contract. When it's to take place, and if necessary, what other details might be necessary. Jason gave 3 months' notice. If he put that in writing, perhaps the company might want to acknowledge that they don't need 3 months' notice and say, here, you can go after 4 weeks. So putting things in writing in the employment contract is always a good idea.
So in a kind of general sense, if any employers are listening to this, hearing these stories and dreading the day when it happens to them, what are some steps that employers can take, even if, you know, if they're not sure where they are with employee engagement,
right,
and retention,
right,
what can such a person do?
No matter what the size of a company, I always recommend having a formal process. And the formal process might be as simple as come speak to me. So the formal process around what to do if people have concerns. Putting that down in writing and making it clear for everybody, here's what the process should be. And then what to do if you're discontent with the response. Make sure, it's sort of a third step in that might be, make sure you reply to concerns in a timely manner. And then lastly, ensure privacy and discretion so that if you've received a complaint, you're not sharing it with coworkers. So the four simple steps, make sure people know what those steps are and follow them.
Have you ever quit a job in some dramatic way?
I can't say as dramatic as any of the calls I've heard. Vancouver's a small community, and I'm choosing to remain in Vancouver, so I'd like to be reemployed.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I will say that the most dramatic I ever got is that thing where you just stop showing up. And I was young and naive and needed the money. But I'm sure that's probably, of all the ways, the worst.
I've had a number of situations, especially in sort of my previous background dealing with retailers, where that is often the case. In fact, I had one who was a professional football player who doubled working in another organization. And we saw this individual on television the day he was supposed to be work in his other job on television.
Wow.
The day he was supposed to be working for us, the retailer.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for all your calls and all your great stories. And Christian, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Matthew. Thank you.
Thank you. Christian Codrington is with the BC Human Resources Management Association. If you want to add your story, if you want to remain anonymous, maybe send us an email at almanac@cbc.ca.